And I have in the studio with me... Who is this? I'm just kidding.
It's all right. I can take it.
Michael Herron. And is there a bio for me to read in this book?
I think there is a bio in there somewhere.
Because I didn't print one out.
I think
but
it's
let
the
me
back.
Tell you about the little I know about, the lot I know about Michael. He's an artist and a musician and a nice guy. And he's been involved in a fascinating project for a few years. He's also an author. And, oh, look, it says you're a Brooklyn-based composer and performer. Michael Herron combines elements of classical composition with experimental electronics and storytelling to create hypnotic and boldly intimate work that walks the line between Laurie Anderson, Peter Gabriel, and Dead Can Dance. He's an artist in residence at Hammer Lane Farm Animal Sanctuary, where he created the solo multimedia theater piece The Animal Show, which premiered in New York City in 2016 and continues to be performed in venues throughout the United States. And that's what we're talking about today, The Animal Show. And not only is it a show, but it's a book. And I've got the book in my hands.
Yay.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
So, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you here. I've seen you out and about in and around the local vegan scene, and you're here now.
Yeah.
I think art is probably the most important or one of the most important things we have in life, especially to move our species forward. We need art to tell the story. We need art to tell us where we've been and where we're going. And it can be beautiful. It can be thought-provoking. It can be difficult. But I'm a big believer in art. I'm an artist myself, so I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I guess obviously because I make art.
One thing these things just pop in my head and I just spit them out.
Do it.
One thing that surprises me is that artists, I don't understand why all artists aren't vegan. Let's start there.
I don't understand why everyone's not vegan.
Everyone, but at least artists try to see the world. They're not following the fold. They're not trying to be manipulated. They're trying to be original and expressive and see the world rather than sleepwalk.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like what those guys were saying too, that I think about that a lot lately, especially like the people in my life recently who aren't vegan, who I'm like, wait, like, you know, for a long time I was in that space of like, I got to just hang out with vegans now. Like I did a lot of like, you know, rescue work and slaughterhouse vigils and all this kind of stuff. And that stuff is really intense. And it becomes like, I don't know if I can sit with someone who's, you know, eating meat and all that kind of thing. And I still struggle with that. But I'm starting to have that sort of perspective of I was a vegetarian in my 20s and an animal rights activist. And then I was like, forget it. For a long time, I started eating animals again. Mm. So, I mean, if I could do that.
Anybody could.
Yeah. Like, and so if I could, like, raise the curtain and see like the horrors of what happens to animals and then be like, forget it. I'm going to just close the curtain again and do whatever I want.
Do you remember what led you to closing that curtain?
It sometimes feels like, I guess not to overshare. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict. So that like a lot of stuff, a lot of things that you care about stop mattering.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I had some help in, like, closing that curtain. But it was a long time after I got sober until I really started thinking about it. And in fact, it was I was interviewing – I like to talk to activists on this podcast that I've been doing forever. And I was talking to some activists when I lived in Houston who were protesting the Chinese consulate for importing dog and cat fur. And I was trying to be, try to be relatable with them and say, oh, yeah, I used to be an animal rights activist and a vegetarian. And they were like, what? used to be. What happened? And I was just like,
oop.
I don't know. And that's when I started thinking about it again. So I don't know. I guess that's just to say lately I've been feeling a little more or a little less – I don't want to say judgmental. A little less. My expectations have lowered in a more open kind of way. That I feel like, you know, I give people more of a benefit
of
the
pass.
Doubt. Yeah, yeah.
This is a very hard world. It's a very hard world, and people are challenged right and left. And sometimes change, often change, even if we know it may help us in one way or another, is so overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's just a hard place to be. But I keep hoping and reminding people and wanting to bring you over to the light where the joy is and where the delicious food is and saying it's worth the effort. It's worth the struggle. You don't know how wonderful it can
yeah.
be. You don't know how good you can feel. And I think the Vegan Bros touched on this a little bit, but I like to say it's all about food. And once you've got the food in line, it opens the door and you see more. Now, you may not want to see everything that you see, but you see a lot more exploitation mm-hmm. in everything, not just with your what's on your plate or who's on your plate. Excuse me.
Yeah, you know, like, because I'm in this weird, like, sort of transition of my perspective about others, after I said what I just said, I was like, oh, my God, I'm being one of those apologetic vegans. And I was. Like, there's the other side of it. When I stopped, when I finally was like, just get over yourself and go vegan, and I did it, I was like, oh, this isn't hard. You know, mm-hmm. like, it took a little bit of a transitional time to figure out what I was going to be eating then. But now, like, it's super easy. And so, and in that way, I'm like, why aren't people, especially people that I know, who, like, know that I've been vegan
yes.
now for, like, 10, 11 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
It's so true. There's a moment in the show where I really have that, like.
And if you are waiting, folks, and you're confused and overwhelmed and you have questions, I've offered this all the time. I have an email address, info@realmeals.org. You write me a message, I give you an answer. It's simple. Tell us about the animal show.
Okay.
So you were artist in residence at
Tamerlane. Yeah.
And you created this thing. They weren't looking for you.
No, they weren't looking for me. I had the idea actually at Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary. I went with my friends, the Vegan Moes, which is interesting to mention.
They've
them
been
on a
here.
Show with, oh, they have?
They've been here live.
Oh, I love the Vegan Moes.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going out to Thanksgiving with them. And which is, for people who may not know, it's a yearly event at Woodstock where the thing that I love about it is that the turkeys are the honored guests rather than mm-hmm. menu items. And they announced they were having this new space. And I just finished my previous show called Tentative Armor. And I made a book and an album like I did with this show. And I was like, what do I do now? And then I'm at Woodstock and they're announcing this new space that has new, like, it's going to be a bigger, you know, I realized, like, oh, I wonder if I could do an artist residency? I just made it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out to do it at Woodstock, but I was just getting to know Peter and Gabrielle at Tamerlane Farm and just sort of like started dropping like, hey, I wonder, what do you guys think? And they were like, yeah, come and do it. And I was like, I don't know what it is. And they're like, that's cool. So I spent a year visiting the farm as much as I could, working with the animals, volunteering. And I wrote stories about those animals, their stories, my stories about, you know, particular animals in my life who had, I felt, transformed the way I perceived animals, and a lot of rescue stories, and you know, a lot. And so I created this show. It's a solo piece, although I do have a string quartet that plays with me in the show. So it's electronic music, storytelling, video, string quartet, piano, all this stuff woven together to sort of tell. It tells the story of my philosophy, I guess, about animals and why I'm vegan, and kind of with the understated intent to turn the world vegan.
Vegan.
Yeah.
Go vegan.
Do it.
Yeah. So you had some stories in here about animals that touched your life.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about one of them?
So some of the early ones? Or
yeah, the early ones.
Okay.
Not at the sanctuary.
Yeah. I had a dog named Corky. I was like, should I head for that story?
Yeah.
when I was Corky was – I was an adolescent. I was just before adolescence when I met Corky. She was a stray dog. I met her on the street, was walking home in like suburban Houston, Texas. And she just became my dog. It's weird to say my dog, but you know, you would say my friend, my,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Sure.
So she was my friend through coming out as being gay in Houston, Texas in 1982, 83, which wasn't a big like...
No, that was not a good time.
Yeah, and I didn't come out at that time. It was much later that I came out. It was when I was beginning to, like, notice, like, huh, I seem to be a little bit different. So, you know, and, like, divorces, alcohol, all different things that were going on in my household, I had consistency in this dog. Yeah, so her story, It's the first animal story in the show. Like, I start the show talking about being at Tamerlane for the first time, and then I bring Corky in, partly because I know people can relate to a story about a gay kid and a dog who are like, you know, like, she didn't understand any of this, and I didn't really say it to her, but she was a constant, unconditional part of my life.
That's the key word, unconditional love.
Yeah.
Many people say that humans are the most intelligent species on the planet, and mm-hmm. I think that's debatable.
Agreed.
And when we talk about being mindful and we see the other non-human animals on this planet as they truly are, we can see their skills, their talents, their intelligence, their behavior. And sometimes it's a lot better than what we're doing, and a lot more intelligent. And the thing about dogs that many people say is this unconditional love. And we could all use some help learning about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and you know, I don't know if I want, well, I'll add it and maybe we'll wonder what you think. Like, it feels like a sort of arrogance that humans...
Bing!
Okay, good. I'm glad that I had a feeling that that'd be cool. You know, that we decide what other animals' intelligence is based on what our intelligence is. Like, how does that work?
Gary and I were just, my partner Gary and I, we walk a lot. We were walking around, we saw a bird flying, and we were just like, wow, a bird flies. Yeah. I mean, just think about that. A bird can fly. A bird builds its own home every year with twigs and sings about it.
You know?
It just seems pretty amazing.
Yeah, and think about the things that animals aren't doing to the planet.
Like, the flip side, everybody else isn't polluting like we are.
Yeah.
And destroying things and putting, confining animals in factories and torturing them in mammoth numbers.
Yeah.
Yes. And poisoning ourselves with decadent foods. And yeah, we're pretty crazy species.
Yeah. It's not a great thing.
Yeah. So I don't know that we're the best. So I'm just going to take a brief little detour here from the animal show. I understand it's your birthday in 2 days.
Oh, what? It is.
And I brought you from Beyond Sushi a sweet potato chocolate brownie. Have you ever had them there?
I have not had them there.
Now, sometimes it comes with ice cream. They make a black sesame tahini ice cream that is nothing like you've ever had. It's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
But I couldn't really bring that because it would have been soup.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
So enjoy that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Should I eat it? How can I eat it while we're doing this?
Hey, sure.
Okay.
Tell me what you think. It's kind of mushy.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I like it.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't eat it. If we're going to be talking, it might be...
I'll
save it.
It's
I'm
free.
Save it.
Yeah, save it. Whatever.
I'll save it. I'll be smacking my lips.
So there's the animal show, and now there's the animal book.
Yeah.
And I imagine that some of the text in the show is in the book?
Yeah, the book has all of the text from the show. Mm. There's an album that's coming out at the same time. Quite... pushing it to the last minute to finishing the album. Like, it's still not done yet, and it's all coming out.
No rushing.
Yeah.
You just take your time.
Yeah, it'll be done this week. I mean, it kind of has to be.
Okay.
So they're companions to each other. The animal book has photographs and all the stories from the show, along with some stories I toured with the show last summer. So I did some, like, a lot of activism and more sanctuary work as I was touring in between shows. Part of the goal was to visit a lot of sanctuaries and, you know, see and get involved with activism around the country. So some of those stories are in here. And, I decided to be a photographer and videographer. So a lot of the photographers are mine.
Oh,
the photographers' photographs
nice.
Are mine. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. There are some Seth Webster and Diana Brzezinski. I suddenly was like, wait, did I say your name wrong? No, I didn't. Their photographs are in here as well. So it's a really well exciting thing. My friend Luke Curtis designed the book, and it was his concept from bdstudios.com.
Excellent. And the director of the show.
Adam Fitzgerald.
You've had an influence on him.
That was one of the unsuspecting things. I had an influence on the guy that's recording because he's not vegan either, and I'm telling all these stories, and he's recording them. I saw him... riding down. He was riding. I teach his son. He lives in my neighborhood in Brooklyn. And he was riding his bike. And he was like, oh, hey, man, those stories stuck with me. Yeah, so same with Adam. There was one day that I was talking about, I'm telling a story about a rooster at Tamerlane that was kind of being bullied, and they were trying to figure out exactly which rooster yard, because as you might already know, roosters are aplenty at sanctuaries because they get their basically waste of the egg industry. So within the story, I mention that and why, and I talk about what happens to baby chicks. The male chicks that get ground up alive or gassed. And I'm telling the story to my director.
And they go into animal feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling the story like to my director, like I just finished the story and I want his feedback about the whole story. And he's like, do they really do that? And I was like, yeah. Oh, what, the grind up? And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, yes. And he's like, am I going to have to stop eating eggs now too? And I was like, I don't know. Do you want to participate in grinding chicks alive or not? So it was an interesting, it was interesting to realize, like, telling these stories and putting the show together had effects in different places I didn't set out for them to. I mean, I'm super happy that they did. I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure if he's where he is with veganism, but he's definitely – there was a day that he went – I forgot where he was visiting, Brazil, I think, and he came back and he was like, oh, you ruined – he was like – He decided he was going to eat meat when he was in Brazil, and he just couldn't do it. He was like,
"Well, that's good."
Yeah, and he was like, he was faux mad at me for that, but also like, you know,
that's really good.
Yeah,
I was just wondering if he was going to need more reinforcement, because it makes me think a little bit about the book that I just read, Vodka is Vegan. There's a lot of stuff in there. They talk about grinding up chickens, the male hens, when they're just adorable little chicks that get ground up and go into animal feed. And we do so many horrible things to animals just to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And many people, if they heard it, they would not believe it. They would not believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And some people say, don't tell me, I don't want to know.
That's the worst right?
Like, what's that?
It's still happening whether I tell you or not. Like, it's
But when you're one-on-one and you say, okay, this is happening and it's true and you don't want to believe it, and now do you still want to support this activity knowing this? And that's a really uncomfortable place for them to be in. And we have this job without being the angry vegan,
mm-hmm.
without being the nagging vegan. I think nagging's okay sometimes. Of just keep putting that out there and putting that in front of people so that they can know their truth and be the vegan that's inside of them.
It's really interesting, the different approaches. I have a friend who would be perceived as like an angry / nagging vegan. I needed that. Like, there was a whole period when I was already on my way to being vegan, but I was a lot of like, oh, I'm so busy today. I got a slice of pizza, blah, blah. I needed to hear someone be like, dude, stop.
Yeah,
stop making excuses and just do it.
Slap my face here. Wake up.
Yeah. So this friend of mine, I don't think she'd mind if I say her name, Leah, is one of those people that is like, hey, you know that that contact lens solution you're using is tested on animals. And like one of those things that I conveniently overlooked. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that stuff. Like it feels confronting, and it kind of is. But it's like, do I want to live by my ethics or not? So I love a
yes.
preachy, nagging vegan.
Now, what I read in Vodka is Vegan is their big picture, and I appreciate the big picture. I support moving people to more plants and less animals and not sweating the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on where you are in your journey, if that small detail is going to be important to you enough. I think the idea is that we all eat less animals, stop eating animals, or at least can we just get rid of the cruel – slaughtering any animal is cruel, don't get me wrong. But the factory farms, this holocaust that we're doing to the animals, it's just horrific. That's got to stop.
Yeah.
It's just got to stop. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And you can eat chocolate sweet potato brownies.
Yeah, like you can eat all kind of different kind of brownies. Like there's so many options.
There are so many options. And I just want to promote myself here. Why not? It's my show.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Where else?
I don't promote myself enough. I have a blog. It's now, I think, in day 1,209. It's called What Vegans Eat, and I've been posting for over 1,200 days now everything I eat every day. That's all. That's the premise of the blog. That's it. And I just give it all to you, everything I'm eating every day. Because when people say, what do you eat? I say, go to my blog. There's now over 1,200 entries. And if you can't imagine what vegans are eating, this is a vast array of what this vegan's eating and what I've been eating in New York, a lot of times in California. I was just in Quebec. I've been in Costa Rica. And I put it all in there. Hmm. Thank you. That is all.
What is the URL? What's the web address?
So it's my nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. The acronym is R-E-A-L, Real. And it's one of the things that we have up there. We also have this show, It's All About Food, archived and transcribed all 9 years plus of programs.
Hmm. Love it. I'll check it out. I didn't know you had that. I'm really interested in looking at that because I get that question. Like, I mean, I get
over 1,200 entries.
But I remember really being like, oh, God, I have to go vegan. What now? What do mm-hmm. I do? And I got some cookbooks and figured it out. But it felt like it was going to be.
Yes. and you know, most of the time I eat very healthy. I had a cancer over 11, 12 years ago, advanced ovarian cancer, 10 to 20% survival rate. And that motivated me to be a better vegan, be a healthier, whole food, plant-based kind of person. And so most of the time I'm eating really good food. And the thing is, I love it. Yeah. I love this food. The cleaner I get, I crave it. Occasionally, the other day I had a gluten-free English muffin. Okay. Now, to me, this isn't a healthy food.
Right.
But we had a few in the freezer, and I'm cleaning out all the food because I'm heading out to California, and I want all the food gone. So I had it, and I enjoyed it, and I'm done.
I love it. And I liked it.
But it was vegan. I mean, that's my line. It's got to be vegan.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So where have you been with the animal show?
Houston, I mentioned already, I guess. Or did I mention that I did the show there?
Say it again.
I did it in Houston, Berkeley, Los Angeles, Portland, Rochester, Philadelphia, and New York City. I think those are the places.
Have they been friendly Veg Fest kind of venues?
I just booked theaters on the way, and I tried to sort of like coordinate with vegan groups or mm-hmm. sanctuaries where I could sort of like connect. The most interesting place was Houston because I lived there before I moved to New York. I guess I mentioned that already. And I did theater there. I didn't do my own work. I music directed. So I have a lot of theater friends, and I wasn't vegan yet, so none of them were vegan. But they all were like, oh, we're going to come see your show. So I had a big house of mostly non-vegans. Mm-hmm. And I was actually a little nervous because in some ways there are some places in the show that are like flat, straight up like preachy vegan moments. People got it in a very – I was surprised. But in a and they got the message, even though – people didn't necessarily say they were going to go vegan now, although there was one guy that was like, I'm never eating chickens again. I should check in with him and see if he did.
You should.
Yeah. But they seemed to get the idea. They understood where I was coming from.
Good.
In a way that I was welcomed.
And where's the animal show going next?
So I'm doing a album and book release show here in New York City on the 21st of June at Judson Memorial Church, super amazing artist activist place. And I don't have any plans yet. Like in stone. I'm working on a Boston show. I'd like to go up to Syracuse because amazing Strong Hearts Cafe is up there. And I don't know. I just love some Syracuse. And I've been focusing on making the album and the book. So it's like I'm independent. So I produce the shows and the books and everything else. So I have to focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah. If you want to do your art, do it yourself.
Yeah.
For
and
the
it's
most
actually,
part, right?
Yeah. It's a great time to do it though. Like doing this book, it's like, we're doing it on our own, and it's kind of great.
Good. So we just have four minutes left. Okay, cool. So tell me about some of the places you love to go to in New York City, the greatest city in the world, especially for vegan eating.
Oh, there are so many places.
I know.
So I think my favorite, like, sit-down restaurant is, Beyond
Sushi.
No.
Oh, Beyond.
What? Why can't I think of the name? I'm going there Friday for my birthday. Brooklyn. Issa Chandra Moskowitz's place.
Oh, Modern Love.
Modern Love. Why was I going to say Beyond Love?
Because you're looking at this Beyond like, Sushi I'm just sweet drooling potato over. Brownie. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's
Modern
my favorite
love.
Sit-down place. Mm-hmm. I love Marty's V Burger. I went there last night.
I just talked to Marty on this show last week.
Oh, come on. I love that Marty.
Yeah, he's good. I loved his passion. And I say this a lot, but the vegan entrepreneurs that have made restaurants, I mean, they're so committed and they love their food. And that's where you want to go and eat.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so supportive of everyone in the community as well. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think those are my favorites. I mean, like Red Bamboo, always a favorite. Peace Food Cafe, my favorite cheesecake. It's my favorite cheesecake in the city. Yeah.
Very good. Well, the thing is, there are so many choices. I was just at Francia a couple of days ago with Karen Davis. And what was wonderful is I've seen her talk. I've had her on the show, but I never had a time to just, like, relax. Mm-hmm. And a friend of ours, mutual friend, Sheila Schwartz, invited both of us. And it was just really fun. And what I loved about her is she's just, like, vegan and so true and so committed and so non-bending. I raise a glass to her.
Yeah, she saw it. I just saw her speak at the National Animal Rights Day a couple of days ago. It's great.
Right. All right, we've got 2 minutes left. So, Michael Herron, I want to thank you for joining me in It's All About Food and for creating and for being the artist and telling a very important story, the animal book, the animal show. And where do we find you?
MichaelHerron.com.
Michael Herron, that's MichaelHerron.com. MichaelHerron.com. Very good. You've been listening to It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass. You know you can find me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. And I want to remind you one more time, tonight is the first day of the Plant Powered and Thriving 6-week course with myself and John and Ocean Robbins. It's the best course in nutrition and learning how to eat more plants, and it's fun. And we'll be there answering a lot of questions tonight, so you can still join in. Find it at thriving.foodrevolution.org. Great. I'm Karen Hartglass. Remember, what is it? Have a delicious week, everybody. This song is by Michael Herron, and it's called Home Again. Thanks for listening.
Yes, it was a long time. Yes, it was a dream. The kind you find inside your world, nestled in between the fear and hesitation, suspicion and distrust, growing out of boyhood, awakening to lust.